I bring greetings from my wife Ruth. She had all planned to be with me this week. We were up in Shropshire at a conference, a Bible conference, and she'd planned to come here. But my youngest daughter's in the final year of her teaching degree, and she was staying with us. She'd come home from Dublin to us to go to a school to do her teaching practice. And we had arranged, oh yes, she'd be fine for that week. But we realized on Friday that this was our final week and probably the key week in 4 years. And we were just, bye, sweetheart, we're heading off. And Ruth really felt to stay, even though she was very keen to come and be in Shropshire and be with you. So anyway, she sends her love to you all. Now, it was a very interesting day yesterday for me, because I had a tour just that way, isn't it, of the new building. And I love new buildings. So much of my life, I've been involved in new buildings, be it here, not here in England, but in Ireland, maybe churches, and particularly when we go abroad and various projects we're involved. There's something about buildings, there's something about a move, and you're on the cusp of a move into something bigger, of expansion, of a higher profile, of a larger vision. And so greater challenges emerge along with that. But that keeps us, that keeps us dependent on Him, looking to Him. I was thinking of that, I don't know what you'd call it, it's a sense of a rhythm, but it goes like this. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Changing things challenge us. Amen. Challenging things cause us to trust God. That's one of the reasons we're challenged, so that our trust and our faith. Trusting God leads to obedience. Obedience makes us healthy. And because life is a circle, life is a rhythm, we come back to healthy things grow. And you're expanding, you're moving, not just because it's been in the ideas of some and this has come up, but because it's in His heart ever to expand, ever to go out into the world. So I have a few thoughts on my mind in view of what I saw yesterday. I took a few photos of this building, of this hall. I mean, this has been really, I've been coming here for quite a few years, and this is nice, and it's kind of comfortable, it's cozy, it's manageable. Yeah, we could, and then boom, all of a sudden, something new. Oh, is it too big? Is it this or is that? I think it's perfect. I think it's wonderful. Easy for me to say. You guys have to do all the work. But it's a challenging thing. And it's something that we need to prepare in our hearts. We have a number of months. Lord, what's my role in this? Sure, but Lord, what's your role? What are you going to expand us into and reach other people? I think it's very exciting. So I would just like to talk a little bit about this divine rhythm, movement, momentum. Sure, it's individual. We can all testify, and I hope in a year's time our testimony will be, God has moved me on into that place that I realize He has taken all my fear away and experience it more and appropriate it more. But also corporatively, as we move on, we'll turn to a few portions in Scripture. I'd just like to start with in the book of Galatians. You may know that this was written to a number of churches. They were really alive. They had experienced revival, wonderful birth into the Spirit, into the new covenant, into the life and the divine rhythm of the Holy Spirit. And then, as we'll follow, there were challenges. Judaizers came in and they were preaching, it's Jesus plus. And nothing has changed. They're still around. It's Jesus plus, but you have to do this. So Paul is countering that. And he just says in chapter 5, he's coming to the end. I suppose there at the beginning, he has brought some of the doctrine, some of the truths. And then in chapter 5, he's beginning to sum things up. And he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And that's a wonderful statement. But I'm sure a few of them hearing this, they're wondering, yeah, but how? these Judaizers, they're very powerful. They have a lot of influence. They've affected my thinking. I'm a bit puzzled. I'm a bit confused. How, Paul, do we stand fast? And as whoever was reading the letter to them, because most of them couldn't read, and he says in verse 16, he discloses the real key to standing fast in the liberty. He discloses a real key of moving on into this new challenge for you guys, or into whatever else is challenging you. And here it is. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. In verse 18, he said, be led by the Spirit. In verse 22, be fruitful in the Spirit. And in verse 25, live in the Spirit. And then he ends up with walk in the Spirit. Once you've received him, once you allow him to live and dwell in your hearts, and you've been filled with him, this is the norm. This is a whole new rhythm to life. Now it takes, just like when we've had, some of us have had babies, they don't come into all this rhythm immediately. They don't come into all this walk immediately. And neither does a church, but you grow into it. And there will be in the work and a little bit of stress and concern and paint and what do we do here? And in the challenge, you will know if you are walking in the Spirit, and we walk by faith, if you are being led, if you're being fruitful, you will know a sense of a rhythm in this move, and it won't be without his joy and his peace there in the midst. Now, an old school teacher, he was a music teacher years ago. I always remember, for some reason, music was kind of compulsory. It was more vocals and piano, but I remember him telling us, he would say, you really need to catch the rhythm, which was unusual, because most music teachers now tend to concentrate more on timing and melody, and that's probably correct. But he saw rhythm as being the key, and he used to say this to us: if the rhythm has gripped you, it's easier to produce harmony. Now, that's taking the metaphor from music, but if the rhythm of Galatians chapter 6, for example, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, etc. If that really is beginning to take hold of your life, and that's, of course, a whole other area that we could talk about, but then it is, you will know a sense of harmony, a harmony with yourself, if you're married, with your spouse, with those around you. It's an amazing thing, this life in the Spirit. In fact, it's really the only way to live. It's the only way that we can be Christian, really. It's the only way that we can move on as a church. You know, it's interesting. We show rhythm in every area in our life, how we talk, how we react, and especially when we walk. Have you noticed? I mean, we have a guy in our church, and he was in the Irish Army for 14 years. And he has a rhythm, how he worked the shoulder back. Good morning, brother. How are you? He's a rhythm. It's come from his training and he walk. And then there's another dear man. He's in his midlife and he's come from a horrific background. He's a bit of a slouch as he walks. A certain rhythm that portrays his background. Now, it's fine. I mean, he may have a poor hip or something, but he just slouches along. And then just last week at the church, I noticed one of our young men. He's about 22 and he's just qualified as a physiotherapist, and he's quite a nice, some would say, my daughter says he's quite handsome, and he comes in, and particularly when there's young ladies around, he has a rhythm. It's a swagger. Well, you know that it's a cross between John Wayne and John Travolta, but do you know what I mean? And it's a swagger. We all have rhythms, and I remember a few years ago, I had a hip and pain, a hip and knee pain, and I went to the podiatrist. That's the guy who looks at your feet. And he said, Larry, the rhythm of your walk is wrong. I said, what's wrong with my walk? He said, the rhythm is what is wrong, and he explained what had happened. I'd had a sporting accident years ago, and now my body was complaining about it, and it was coming out here. And he just said, stop your jogging, swim instead, and I will make you insoles for €150. So I said, okay, and it helped. But he altered my rhythm. Right? I looked up the word rhythm this morning. Rhythm is a regularly recurring sequence of events in various functions of life. So it's a cycle, it's a pattern. It's the round of the season of our life. Now the sun is shining today because we're in a rhythm of the seasons. Winter, spring, summer, autumn. It's the same every year. It's built into nature. It's written into our DNA even. If you play cricket, particularly if you're a fast bowler, rhythm is everything. If you play the game of golf, where's our golfer? He's not here, is he? You will know. Oh yes, you're there. Rhythm is everything. Boom. And it's in sport. It's in gymnastics. Rhythm, and you actually hear the commentators. He's in a good rhythm. All right. So it's something that maintains that rhythm. It comes from him. He wrote the rhythm. There's also something else I was thinking this morning. There's that phrase, rhythm and blues. There's a few of us oldie ones are nodding that. You know, and that was given to a certain genre of African-American music that originated back in the 1930s, 1940s. And the lyrics of R&B often described, they encapsulated the African American experience of pain, of poverty, and the quest for freedom and joy. And it had a distinct style to it, a bit of an edginess to it at the time. So down in Harlem in the 40s, they'd have the R&B clubs, the rhythm and blues clubs. And actually, some of the pop music that emerged here in England in the 60s. That came from a roots of them hearing a certain beat of the rhythm and blues, but I trust that us today, especially as some of the words we've sung, the rhythm in your life is not one of the blues, but it's one of the law of the Spirit in life in Christ Jesus, setting me free from the law of sin and death. Straight away, there's two rhythms, two laws, if you like, two movements. There's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, setting me free from another law that you were born into, that I was born into. It's a bit like when you're in an airplane and one law supersedes the other law. So you're on the ground, it's the law of the gravity, but as those engines roar in a certain speed, and the law of aerodynamics kicks in and it supersedes the other law. And that's what walking in the Spirit is all about. Now, you may say, but this is so gradual, I hardly ever notice it. It is sometimes you're more conscious of it than other times. But the thing is, as you move on corporatively, as a church, collectively, and you can come in, if you like, sometimes in the slipstream of another person's rhythm, inspiration. I know what he's been through. I know what she's been through. And look at the grace of God in her life. Wow. That inspires me. And so we sharpen one another in these things. Now, back in Genesis 3, of course, the rhythm radically changed when our forefathers, they chose to experiment, to disobey, to go beyond God's order and boundary. And ever since, and it's tragic, ever since the human race has walked to a different rhythm with tragic consequences. I read kind of a devotional here by this man, E. Stanley Jones, and just this morning I read this. He's talking about, he's presenting over 365 devotions, that there is a way. And so he starts off from ground zero and he says, well, what is the way and who is the way? And he's building up and he's going through and he quotes some philosophers. But this just caught my mind this morning, in light of what I wanted to share. Human beings are in large measure trying the experiment of how not to live. Rats that are under scientific experiment learn their ways to the cheese through a maze of ways by finding out that when they put their heads into the wrong way, their noses get an electric shock. Only the right way is shockless. Human beings are in the process of finding out how not to live. We keep sticking our noses into ways that are not the way, and we are getting hurt. Someday, hopefully, we will try the way. All right? And it's like there are other rhythms out there. There are other ways. And it's important that we walk on into this divine rhythm and with this divine rhythm. Walk in the Spirit. So how did this originate? That's nice kind of Larry, divine rhythm. But it's always good to go back as it was in the beginning. That's why the book of Genesis holds in embryo form the keys to so many spiritual truths. So what was the Spirit doing back in the beginning? Well, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. Okay, we all know that. Big deal. But actually, this is interesting. That word there for God is Elohim, which is plural. The Godhead. And we know there are three persons in the Godhead. It's a bit mysterious, but that's the way it is. Just because we don't fully know and understand it all, it doesn't make that it's not real. And so in the beginning, we have Elohim creating, but the verb create is in the singular. So you've they, but they were creating in the singular. It means as a unit, as a corporate expression, they were creating. So we drill into that and we see, what were they doing? What was the Father doing? He spoke. He had the authority. He was the originator. The originator speaks. He plans. He describes it, okay? And then what was the Son doing? It doesn't say it in Genesis 1, but the Bible tells us that the Son was beside the Father as the master craftsman. That's why when you read something in, is it Colossians chapter 1 about him, you realize that he was fulfilling the word of the Father. He was creating DNA, cells, heavens, planets. And then we come in verse 2, what was the Spirit? And it says the Spirit was hovering. The Spirit was hovering. That's an interesting word. It's a very descriptive word. If you get out your, if you have the books, your concordances, and I have about three of them, and I went into this, and it's fantastic. It's all in your tablet, so you don't have to get on the planes with loads of books. It's all there. Your whole library's there. It's brilliant. So I looked into this, and this is what this hovering is, because walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Be fruitful in the Spirit. Move in the Spirit down the road, okay? It means moving, brooding. And then I read this, producing a rhythm and waves of divine energy. There's a vibrating motion right at the beginning. That's what he was doing, the Holy Spirit. So that's why he's in this. It seems so right. It seems timing. I mean, we've just, through friendship and coming here, it just seems a sense of timing, and this is right. A year ago, it wasn't right, but it just seems right. The door is opened. So this word, these words create a sense of expectation. Something is about to happen. I hope you have that. I hope you're not overcome by, who's going to do all the painting? This, have a sense of expectation. As men and women are in divine rhythm, this will be a great event. I mean, I know from the past times we've moved from small building to from out of the house to a hotel room, from a hotel room to a smaller building, from a smaller building to a bigger building. Yes, healthy things grow, growing things change, changing things will challenge you, but you move in the divine rhythm, and you'll see all the time the Spirit, the Godhead, they're on expansion. For God so loved the little group of Christians. No, for God so loved the world. And if that's in his heart and you have him in your heart, you will have that in your heart. Okay. Where do I want to go there? Genesis 1. Oh, yeah, I just want to talk something about this walk. And we're going to look at... it's very interesting that if we use the word walk as a sense of divine rhythm, okay, just as a metaphor, as a picture. I looked it up last night. In at least 8 of Paul's... How many epistles did he write? Was it 13? 13 about. In 8 of those, he refers to this moving in the Spirit as how we walk. All right? John and Peter, they also use the verb walk to describe moving and progressing and expanding in God. So, can we turn to our second portion, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul is moving on from the previous 3 chapters, which is pretty obvious. But anyway, and he reveals, in those 3 chapters, though, it's important because he says, now, finally, therefore, okay? Those 3 chapters were, he's telling how the church was born, how it was nurtured, how it was established. And it's similar to here. It's similar to other local churches. It's a time that there's a birth, an idea, a gathering of hearts, and something is born in the Spirit. And there's a time of nourishment and nurturing and establishing in the Spirit. It can come with people. People have moved. People have found themselves strangely drawn to Chester, and there are people in Chester found them strangely drawn. It's not just here. It's other churches. This happens. And now's the time he is saying something else. He's saying this. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort. Now, that's pretty strong language. We don't often go up to people and say, I urge and I exhort you. I mean, maybe when we've had our children, we would say it, but we would use some other words. Get out of bed or I'd throw a bucket of water over you. That's urging and beseeching them. You didn't have teenagers who didn't get out of bed easily. But anyway, and so he is urging and exhorting in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, expand more and more, just as you received from us. And I think he's maybe searching for that next word, and he says, how you ought to walk and to please God. All right? And he's how we are to move on in this divine rhythm, individually and collectively and corporatively. Can I just say, I had something else. I had a great sermon planned for this morning. And he has a habit of doing this. And you come. And I saw the building yesterday, and I just, this is fantastic. It was great. I told you, I took photos. I just think the timing of it is all right. I mean, I could be completely wrong. And you could be completely wrong. But he is not wrong. He doesn't allow you to make the next step. And talking to one or two of you, there was maybe and I find in church life, there are some who see it before others. And I'm going to end on something like that may be helpful. There'll be always some a bit more enthusiastic than a bit others. That's okay. Just hang in. But this whole thing of abounding and walking. Now, walking, it indicates motion. It's obvious. A specific type of motion. Now, it's not like the motion of floating or drifting or creeping or even leaping or running, but the word is walk in the Spirit. And to walk, it implies a kind of purpose. We start out from a goal. It suggests progress. We're steadily advancing step by step. It expresses a perseverance, keeping on until the goal is reached. So it stands for that steady, sustained rhythm and motion. That involves a number of things. Action of our minds is the first thing. We're a decision to start, and then it has a desire to continue. Lord, keep that desire, keep that fire burning in me, Lord, individually, collectively. And it will determine, it will give a determination, we're going to arrive. So start, continue, arrive. I suppose there's a bit of a rhythm in that. Now, people start, but they get hindered, and their rhythm gets broken or interrupted. Happens individually, can happen in a local church as well. And that's where we need one another. That's why it's so important to meet together, pray together, eat together, care for one another. We're here to encourage. We're also here to push a bit as well. It's pull and push. But in relation to Christian living, I think when Paul talks about walking, he said, just live openly this life out there before men and women. Can I say it's easier said than done? It's easier said in the atmosphere of a Sunday morning when we've had some great songs, some praying. It's easier said than done. It's easier, for example, to float downstream. Have you found that? With the tide of nominal Christianity. If and I'm sure it doesn't, but if it applies to anyone here, it's miserable. It's you're doing the splits, and after a while, just either head out there or come in. this floaters, and there are always floaters. They're not just in your eyes, but they're in church life. You it's easy to float. It's easy to drift. I wrote here, which I thought was quite good, in the lukewarmness and listlessness of mediocrity. And the reason I'm writing this is because I do it. You know, if you're thinking, that's a bit like me, Jesse. No, I don't. I'm just talking about my own experience. These are things that are real. Or it's easy just to creep along continually as a spiritual babe. Of course, we don't call ourselves spiritual, but that's what we're doing. And maybe occasionally we're mounting up like on with eagle's wings. We're soaring to some sudden spiritual height, some spiritual mountain of transfiguration, only to relapse back later into some nominal condition. You know, it's actually easier sometimes to engage in some kind of ministry than to consistently just practice out in our daily walk the truth and life of walking in the Spirit and the gospel. So there is a bit of a challenge to these things, but I'm glad it is. How many of you have learned to do something because there was a challenge in it? How many of you have passed degrees because at first it was difficult, but there was a challenge to it? Over 20 years ago, I met a friend from Ireland. He was out in Bangkok with his wife, a Malaysian nurse, and they had a real call to go out and to save and help and start some sort of work or ministry for particularly for young girls in Thailand, to rescue them out of the wickedness and degradation that so many get caught in. And 20 years ago, I was flying on my way out to China. I spent 2 days with my friend, and we went down into a restaurant. And this man, he grew up in the army. He was an army ranger, he was disciplined. He could hold things together. And over some Thai meal, my friend started to cry. And I was so shocked. And I said, Charles, said, I'm crying. These are tears of frustration. He said, I cannot hack this Thai language. I've been doing it for 6 months. He said, I just cannot do it. I cannot. And I know there's no point in me being out here without knowing the language. And four years ago, I was out at his place, fabulous place up in the northeast of China now, very successful, near the Cambodian border, brilliant. Oh, the Lord has so blessed them. And I'm preaching, and he's interpreting. And he's really doing the preaching. I'm just supplying him the information. And he's there, and he's press barring, and he's speaking this strange language. And I just stop. And he stops. He says, are you all right? Have you the runs? Do you want to go to the toilet? Why are you stopping? I said, Charles, do you remember 18 years ago? And everyone is, of course, they don't understand it. I said, 18 years ago, you said you couldn't hack it. Look at you now. And he looks at me. Yeah, brother, it's the grace of God. Now, let's get back to it. But so there are some things that are challenging. He would have made, we need stretching at times. This move will stretch us. But it's unto a purpose. So, you'll recall what my old music teacher said, you really need to catch the rhythm. A daily consistent Christ-like walk is easier said than done until you get into this rhythm. It's like what you were saying, until that divine will bring you into realizing and appropriating that he has taken away my fear, that thing that has stalked me all my life, boom, it's gone. It's the way to live. I prayed, not every day, but quite often, Lord, keep me moving in your ways, in your streams, in your truth, in your life. There's that old hymn that says, God and man in oneness blending. Keep me in the blend. Keep me in the mix, whatever we do. This is the only way. Divine rhythm. And so, Paul, he goes on here, and he devotes half of the epistle to explain to us what walking with a godly rhythm is all about. And we're not going to go into this. We don't have time, but there are several types of aspects of this walk. He starts off here at this one with a walk of holiness. That's what 3-8 is all about. He talks about this word, verse 3, sanctification. And immediately people begin to switch off when you talk about, I'm going to speak to you today about sanctification. Oh, great. But actually, it is great. You know what it means? It means, here's the definition, a definition, the progressive conformity of my life to the will of God. Now, I'm sure there isn't anyone in this room who doesn't want that. And then he talks 9-10, walk in harmony, let brotherly love continue. As you move, as maybe someone hasn't turned up who said they would to do the painting, let brotherly love continue. Let's have a walk of harmony, of understanding. And then he talks 11-12, there's an honest walk. I've just classified the verse 13, a walk of hope. And then in chapter 5, 12-28, a walk of helpfulness. That's a good chapter to read every day, particularly as the move's about taking place. It's a walk of being helpful. Hallelujah. So I want to just turn to two more places before I finish. The other is Ephesians. We go back a few pages in your Bible or your tablet or your phone. I hope if you're on the phone that you're reading the Bible. We know if you're not. All right. He says here, again, it's in chapter 4, completely different sort of setting. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And it's the same sort of thing. There's been some chapters before, and there's a chapter at the end. And this is a slightly different. He's talking here about the walk in chapter 4 and 5, and he's talking in chapter 6 about warfare. Yeah? And there's no point in walking, and there's no point in warfaring, unless you know something of chapter 1 to 3, which is the wealth of Christ. So here you have another rhythm within a rhythm, wheels within wheels, the wealth, the walk, and the warfare. I remember going once, I was asked to speak at a warfare conference. I don't think I would go back there, but anyway, and it was all sorts of things. And they never mentioned about the wealth, the riches of Christ. We need to vision, we need to see who he is and what he's done for us and the wealth and the riches, and because that's vision. I said at a conference that Matt and I were at earlier this week, there's an acronym which is very useful in prayer meetings. It's very useful in church life. It'll be very useful in the move. It's VIM, V-I-M, as in vigor and vim. And it's vision, intention, and means. And if you think of that, that's part of the Spirit's rhythm to us. He may speak it to you in a different way, use a different metaphor, use different scriptures. But he'll come. This is really the only way to live. It's the only way to enjoy church life, to be part of church life, to move into a challenge and to go out and reach people. But there are people down there, they don't know it. They're waiting for your move. God is waiting for the move there. Now, I'm not emphasizing the physical, geographic the geography of the thing. But I know there are people that will come, and they said, oh, I've never heard about you. Yeah, well, okay, we're only up the road. Oh, yeah. And you will see the reason for your move. It's not just to make, and I know this isn't part of the leadership here, it isn't just to make you a more successful church. It's to the expansion of the kingdom. And as a result, you will be blessed. So he says the same thing here, chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner. Sometimes those little words, like the word therefore, is like a call or a challenge to prove the reality of all that has been revealed in chapters 1 to 3. And it's through the action of our walk. And he is a different sort of list here. The first one he talks about is the unity, to keep, maintain the unity of the Spirit. And that's something that you will be maybe challenged a little bit over the next few months. Did you hear me? I really felt this morning praying that to you. My perception of you guys is there's a closeness, there's a unity here, and that's what my God is able to use. Can I tell you, and you probably know this, we have an enemy of the souls. He does not want this move. And he will do his best to interrupt it, to hinder it, to slow you down, and actually to bring a sense of disunity and division amongst you. That's his tactic. And it's good to expose it. But you can walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to end with something that hopefully will be helpful in this regard. And just to bear that in mind, we need to see the bigger picture. We need to experience the full orb of his divine rhythm. The list here is walk in unity, then he walk in holiness, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom, walk in harmony. And that's divine rhythm, the walk. I just want to finish on this, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 1. I shared something a little bit about this at a conference we were at, and it came to my mind freshly, actually this morning. Have you found that God is mysterious, and he's sometimes difficult to understand? Has anyone found that? I find it all the time. And I love metaphor. I love picture. I love something that just shows an aspect of him. And Ezekiel is like the art gallery. Have you ever been to art galleries? I went to, in my business years ago, I used to sell paint, color. I was the biggest seller of paint, professional artist paint, kids paint, in the island of Ireland. But I knew very little about art gallery. And then one of my daughters became, she went to art college, and she was into art. So I remember one year I brought her, she passed one of her exams, and I brought her to the Tate Museum in London. We had a weekend in London, cost me a fortune, but she enjoyed herself. And she brought me into the Tate, and Sir Ibit, yes, good neck. And she said, no, look, do you know where he was when he painted? And no, I haven't a clue. And she told me that, and it kind of sucked me into it. And then she said, now him, he was tragic. Yeah, well, I could see that. And so on, right? And I actually had a real appreciation. I mean, I wanted to, oh, well, hurry up. I want to go down to the Imperial War Museum, you know. But she with the result, the next day we went to the V&A, and we saw pictures there. So we sometimes need to be brought into this expression of his heart. Ezekiel, he does that. Now, I'm only going to just read two verses, and this is what I want to leave you with. He's describing what he calls living creatures. This chapter, there's been a process. There's been principles of how God works in our lives, how he's bringing sons and daughters to glory, and he describes things that come out of this process, and he describes them as four living creatures. But he just says this, their wings stretched upward. They had four wings, right? This is the picture he saw. They had four wings. Two of them were upwards, and two covered, stretched out, and touched one another, all right? And then in verse 12, and each of these four went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. All right, so here's the picture. They had these four creatures, four wings. They also had human hands under the wings. We've got to have the human touch. Wings stand for, among other things, His grace and His power within our lives. His grace and His power enabling us to do things that we wouldn't naturally have an affinity for or necessarily want, all right? And the picture is, now, I looked this up. I researched this. I looked up other commentators, other men who've written about this, and had certain, and the conclusion was this, that they were moving. They weren't moving in a straight line. They were moving. One had a face northward. One had a face eastward. One had a face southward, and one had a face westward. In other words, they had their own direction. They had their own, if you like, gift, their own ministry. But they were the wings, the grace, the power of His grace and unity was touching. They were touching. So I'm moving north, and my two brothers or sisters beside me have to move sideways. And the guy behind, who has maybe a slightly different emphasis, he's not pulling away from me, he's moving backwards. But we're all moving straight. And the thing about church life, you sometimes have to know how to walk a bit sideways. It's rhythm. This man, this woman has a vision here. It's not particularly my thing, but it seems right as I'm in the Spirit and praying, I'm going to walk with it. It happens in meetings. I was at a meeting two Sundays ago. I traveled hundreds of miles down to Kerry. Kerry's in Ireland, beautiful place for holidays. They think they're independent from the rest of us. We call it the kingdom. And you go to Kerry. But wonderful things are happening down there amongst the Irish-speaking people. And we were going to a church of a friend of mine. I've owned him for years, and it's the first, they actually built a church building. First, Wesley came 300 years ago to a place nearby. But other than that, a non-Catholic church or a non, I think there's a, old Anglican church in the town, but this was the first, if you like, evangelical Pentecostal church that has ever been there. And anyway, he asked me up, will you come down? We're having a mission morning, and will you bring a word? Will you bring a word, Larry? You know, oh yeah, sure. And you know, well, we put you on at 12, you'll have plenty of time, and just, we want to hear you. So I really prepared. I really took it on my heart. Because I actually find I have to plow up a lot of ground to speak for an hour. I'd probably have to, it doesn't come easy. You've got to prepare. And I prepared, and Ruth came with me, and we traveled down, a long road down. You come off the motorway, and it goes on and on and on and on. And we stayed with friends on the way down. And anyway, I arrived, and terrific to see them. And I'm sitting in the meeting, and they're great meetings. They have this kind of, it's all kind of Celtic music, and they're all, you know, you need the gift of interpretation when the Kerry men speak English. And anyway, it was a good meeting, but it was 12, and then a quarter past 12, and then at 20 past 12, the brother gets up, and I thought, oh, here I am. Well, that's all right. He says, Pater's come back from Tanzania. He's going to give us a word. Pater, come up and tell us about Tanzania. And Pater goes up, well, it was full of black faces. And I went out there, and we had a great time in Tanzania. And we did that. And I said, wonderful. Half 12, he sits down. I said, well done, Pater. I could probably cram it in half an hour. And then he gets up. Now, tomorrow, John is going out to Uganda. John, will you come up and tell us about Uganda? So John comes up, and he's more poetical and waxing lyrical, and he said about 10 minutes to say what he could have said in 2 minutes, and he's going on and on. And I'm getting agitated. I'm not walking straight here at all. I'm saying, I've come all this way. I've had this word, and I'm sure it's for them, and it's burning out of my heart. When am I going to get up? And bless the Lord for wives. She just says, it's okay. You'll know what to say. I said, I don't know. What I wanted to say would take an hour. I'm not ready for this. And I actually found myself, I wasn't walking in divine rhythm. I was getting agitated. I was getting, probably never happens to you, but it happens to me. And I thought I knew this man. In fact, 35 years ago, I baptized him, and he's asked me down, and he's and then just clicked with me. And I just said to myself, grow up. I said it to myself. And the burden went off. The rest came. And you see, what I was doing eventually, through my wife and through the Holy Spirit, I was moving sideways. Straight, but sideways. I wasn't turning away. I wasn't turning against. I wasn't turning off. I was about to. And it can happen. It can happen in local church life. You haven't discovered that. You're in for a good surprise. But the thing is, I move sideways. I just move sideways. I shelved that word. It will do some other time. Maybe sometime I have to come to Chester, I'll bring it. But anyway, I just shelved it. And I moved sideways. And I got up on my feet, and I didn't know what to say. I told them, I said, guys, this is great. Here you are in Kerry. You have two missionaries. It's fantastic. And I said, I have a word for you, but there isn't time. And then, boom, something just came into my mind, and I shared it. And a number of people responded. There was, and it's amazing. When you walk in divine rhythm, it's a lot easier. And so that's really, if you feel... See, in every community of people, in every community of Christians, there will be, well, my vision is this. And I expect everyone to come after me in the same vision. No, it's not like that. It's you recognize as you walk in the Spirit, the Lord will show you what season you're in. He shows you who he has given the charge of a church to. Maybe it's one person, maybe it's a number of people. And if you're wise, you will just, I hate to use the word, but you'll kind of come under that, right? Not that there's any inferiority or superiority, but that's the Lord's ordering of things. And you may have another interest and another thing. The church where I am at the moment, there's a man that he has the anointing for this church. His name is Paul. And even though he's asked me to join, so I can do some of the preaching, I don't. Here is another thing, and I know our time is gone. Paul says to me last year, Larry, I think we should go to two Sunday services on a Sunday morning. He's a big warehouse; it's only three quarters full, and I'm thinking, what do we need two services for? It'll split. So he's one at 10, and one at 12. And if you're speaking that morning, or if you're a musician that morning, you're down from 9:45 to about 1:45. It's a long day. And I still, but I just felt, I could start, no, Paul, but I felt this man has prayed about this. He has the charge of this church. I'm going to, and I may be this, but I'm going to back up here. I'm not there every day. I do a bit of itinerating. I go abroad, but I'm going to back up. I'm not going to pull away from him on this. And I asked him, why do you do it? And he says, to leave more chairs for more people to come in. That's his heart. And I'm thinking about convenience and long. I said, hallelujah. And some more people have come in. So the 10 o'clock is 3/4 full, and the 12 o'clock is 3/4 full. The vision is in. So I'm just saying those things. If you can catch that vision, it may be right for you. It may not be, but if it is, take it. You're going to move. There'll be, as you do this move, and as other things happen in the church, you're going to have to do a bit of sidewalk. But it'll be pleasant because it's the rhythm of the Spirit. Maybe you're more right leaning. So, or maybe you're more on the left side. You know what I mean? Anyway, or maybe you've always done your own thing, and this the thing about church. I have to conform. I have to try to be one. I'm this, I'm that. And actually, you're trying to do everything. And after about 4 years, you have a breakdown because you've tried to do everything. But instead of just moving in the flow of the divine rhythm. I could say about sort of individually as well to live in your life. Marriages, live if you're married, live in the divine rhythm, complementing. And there are times I walk sideways with my wife, if you know what I mean. Okay, more retail therapy. That's okay, honey. I'll come. No, I don't mind. I'll bring you. Yeah. No, the visa's okay. Right? And with your children, there were certainly times I had to walk backward, but I wanted to maintain the relationship with the children. So I walked backward. They knew what I approved of or what I didn't approve. It wasn't that I was compromised, but we maintain relations. This is, if you can, and I'm sure I'm only verbalizing stuff that you already know, but this is the way to live. Not just in church life, in any other spheres of human existence. Divine rhythm. It's great. It's wonderful. And I, for one, I won't be looking on with, I wonder how they're doing. I'm with you for what it's worth. And there are other men and women around the world, around the country, who are praying that this move will be on. Yeah, it'll be on to expansion, but it'll also be on to your own expansion. You'll be expanded in this move spiritually, in your character, in the integrity of your heart. I think it's very exciting. I think that's it. Are we okay in time? Well, let me just pray.